so much. We are Lettuce.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, as well as stations from community media carrying this simulcast. KPOV Band, KEPWLP Eugene, KOCFLP Veneta, KYAQ Select, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Telemark, KSKQ Ashland, KSKQ Medford, and KWSO and KWSO HD Warm Springs.
Oh, thank you, Kona. I'm Sonia. We've been bringing you this final installment of the final set of the most recent, i.e. 35th Waterfront Annual Blues Festival. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, friends. Was that not worth waiting for? Kona, would
it
you agree that was worth waiting
it
for?
It was definitely worth waiting for. This entire weekend has been just amazing. Beautiful,
right?
You know, tunes from different artists. I just love it. I love the vibe. I love the vibe.
And you know, Delaney, our producer here, has let me know that we will be broadcasting the audio portion of tonight's fireworks presentation.
Oh.
You'll get to hear all the boom pows.
Yeah.
We got microphones set up.
Are we ready for this?
looks like some boats are pulling up into position in the river. I can see some MCSO boats.
Yes.
And I think the fireworks boat is getting into place there to start launching stuff into the sky. Meantime, may I please, dear listener, thank you for listening to the 35th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival. We've been honored to bring you your local summer programming this holiday weekend. I want to give a big shout out to Chief Engineer Arthur Risotto, who set up those special microphones out there and, you know, made sure that the mix from the stage gets into our little setup here so it can beam out to you.
Yes.
We have production wrangler Phil G. He went out and got permission slips from all the artists to allow us to broadcast their sets, mm-hmm. their performances to you, my friends. Program director Jessaniah Hawthorne, volunteer coordinator Nathaniel Kapp, staff support Tom Lane and Tammy Habtayez, on-site producers Griffin Irish and Delaney Neal, engineering volunteers Lane Starrett and Callie Day, volunteer board operator Chris Merrick. Big thanks to the Waterfront Blues Fest team's artistic director Peter Damon and festival producer Christina Fuller. We're going to go back to the stage for the national anthem.
Free. wrestling friends and music fans. I'm the Big VA. We're so excited to be back with you here at Waterfront Park for the 35th anniversary of the Waterfront Blues Festival, providing music for the community since 1988. This celebration would not be possible without the generous support of
We are back.
Are we almost ready for the fireworks? Are you ready, Sonia, for this?
Yeah, you know, a simulation of death and destruction for to maintain and uphold a system of slavery and imperialism and genocide. I'm not sure I'm really into that.
Yes. You know, history, though, is what you're talking about right now.
No, I'm talking about present day. And
what's happening now
to all our KBOO members that makes this kind of programming possible. You can
all right, guys, we got the fireworks.
Remedy that oversight.
All right, we're gonna watch the fireworks.
Thank you. KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. We are coming to the end of the 4 days of the 35th annual KBOO Waterfront Blues Festival. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. We'll now go back to regular KBOO Monday night programming. Thank you all for listening and supporting KBOO. Please go online to kboo.fm and look for Donate Now and become a supporter and KBOO member. We are partnering with the Oregon Food Bank and the Waterfront Blues Festival to bring you 4 days of live music from noon to 10 each evening, and we hope you've really enjoyed it.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM online.
Support for KBOO programming comes from KBOO members and the Oregon Country Fair, July 8th through 10th in Vineta. Celebrating the return of Oregon Country Fair, fairgoers are invited to a cultural immersion of experiences that explore living artfully. Shuttles for ticketed fairgoers only depart from the Valley River Center and Eugene Station. No tickets will be sold at the fair site. Tickets through Tickets West outlets or online at OregonCountryFair.org.
Hello, you are listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, keeping Portland safe and in touch. Support your independent community radio station, KBOO. You can donate via the KBOO website at kboo.fm/give. There's also a donate button in the KBOO mobile app, or you can text KBOO to 44321. But the best way to support KBOO is by becoming a member at kboo.fm/give. KBOO is a nonprofit, listener-supported community resource for people like you. This is Wider Window Poetry, and I am your host, Teal Ansari, bringing you voices you may not have heard from places you may not have been. But first, a word about the places where you are. KBOO Portland is located on land that includes traditional village sites of the Multnomah, Wasco, Cowlitz, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Bands of Chinook, Tualatin, Kalapuya, Molalla, and many other tribes who made their homes along the Columbia and Willamette Rivers, creating communities and summer encampments to harvest and use the plentiful natural resources of the area. Portland is home to almost 70,000 people descended from these tribes and many others. As a latecomer to this region, descended from slaves and immigrants, I thank the indigenous peoples of the Portland area for this place of refuge. I do have a guest this month, but first I'm going to read a couple of poems by Marilyn Chin, who was born in Hong Kong and grew up here in Portland. She earned a BA in Chinese literature from the University of Massachusetts and an MFA from the Iowa Writers Workshop. Her work distills her experiences as a feminist and Asian American woman. She's the author of the poetry collections Rhapsody in Plain Yellow, Hard Love Province, and A Portrait of the Self as Nation. And in 2020, she was awarded the Ruth Lilly Poetry Prize. So I'm going to read two poems by Marilyn Chin. The first one is titled, Get Rid of the X. My shadow followed me to San Diego silently. She never complained. No green card, no identity pass. She is wedded to my fate. The moon is a drunk and anorectic, constantly reeling, changing weight. My shadow dances grotesquely, resentful she can't leave me. The moon mourns his unwritten novels, cries naked into the trees and fades. Tomorrow he'll return to beat me blue, again, again, and again. Goodbye, moon, goodbye, shadow, my husband, my lover, I'm late. The sun will plunge through the window. I must make my leap of faith. That was Get Rid of the X by Marilyn Chin. Now also by Marilyn Chin, Formosan Elegy for Charles. You have lived 6 decades, and you have lived none. You have loved many, and you have loved no one. You wedded 3 wives, but you lie in your cold bed alone. You sired 4 children, but they cannot forgive you. Knock at emptiness, a house without your love. Strike the pine box, no answer, all hollow. You planted plums near the gate, but they bear no fruit. You raised herbs in the veranda, fresh and savory. I cry for you, but no sound wells up in my throat. I sing for you, but my tears have dried in my gullet. Walk the old dog. Give the budgies a cool bath. Cut a tender melon. Let it bleed into memory. The robe you washed hangs like a carcass flayed. The mug you loved is stained with old coffee. Your toothbrush is silent. Grease mums your comb. Something's lost. Something's made strong. Around the corner, a new prince yearns to be loved, a fresh turn of phrase, a bad strophe erased, a random image, crafts itself into a poem. A sleepless Taipei night, a mosquito symphony. Who will cry for you, me and your sister Colette? Who will cry for you, me and your Algerian sister? You were a rich man, but you held on to your poverty. You were a poor man who loved gold over dignity. I sit near your body bag and sing you a last song. I sit near your body bag and chant your final sutra. What's our place on earth? Nada, nada, nada. What's our destiny? War, grief, maggots, nada. Arms, cheeks, cock, femur, eyelids, nada. Cowl, ox, lamb, fellow, marrow, nada. Vulva, nada. Semen, nada. Ovum, nada. Eternity, nada. Heaven, nada. Void, nada. Birth and death, the same blackened womb. Birth and death, the same white body bag. Detach, detach, we enter the world alone. Detach, detach, we leave the world bone lonely. If we can't believe in God, we must believe in love. We must believe in love. We must believe in love. And they zip you up in your white body bag. White body bag, white, white body bag. That was Formosan Elegy by Marilyn Chin. You're listening to Wider Window Poetry on KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. Now I would like to introduce my guest for this month. Sometimes she makes poems of dirt, sometimes zeros and ones, sometimes variously rendered texts, sometimes light. Samia Bashir is a poet, writer, librettist, performer, and multimedia poetry maker whose work has been widely published, performed, installed, printed, screened, experienced at Oxford, from Berlin to Dusseldorf, Amsterdam to Accra, Florence to Rome, and across the United States. She's the author of three poetry collections, most recently Field Theories, which we're going to hear from shortly, which won the 2018 Oregon Book Award Stafford Hall Award for Poetry. Her honors include the Rome Prize and the Pushcart Prize, among numerous other awards, grants, fellowships, and residencies. In addition to her books, Bashir has served as editor to national magazines and anthologies of literature and artwork. When teaching at Reed College here in Portland, the Vermont College of Fine Arts, or various community settings, Bashir works to create, employ, and teach a restorative poetics which can turn the despair often bred by isolation toward a poetics of light for healing and for change. And we all have experienced more than enough isolation in these 2 years and a half to need some healing and some change. Bashir joins us from Harlem, where she lives. Welcome, Samia.
Thank you, Tia. Thank you for having me. What a beautiful reading of Marilyn Chin's work. I love that grounding us in Portland through her work, and the repetition in that last poem was just delectable.
So I'd like to invite you to read, obviously, and I was hoping you would start with some poems from Field Theories.
Well, it's interesting. So you asked me to read from Coronography, and Coronography is a sonnet redoble, which is like a series of linked sonnets. This is 15 linked sonnets. The last line of each is also the first line of the next. The final 15th, so that happens for 14 poems, and the 15th final sonnet is made of the 14 lines, repeating lines from the initial poems. Coronography, it's named after a coronagraph, right? Coronography, the study of this. So you can use a coronagraph to look at, say, an eclipse. We have a full moon right now, right? If there were a full moon eclipse, you can block out the light so you can see everything around it, all the bodies. The last time, it's interesting you mentioned Florence, the last time I read Coronography was in Florence, Italy, in February 2020. And our event was interrupted because of evacuations. Everybody who was coming to the event, the folks that brought me up to Florence, had to evacuate that day. And as we were getting the space together to do the event, and we had a very small, really intense group, there were ambulances coming and whisking people away the whole night. And that was the first time that the coronavirus became so deeply, deeply real. You know, they were like, I can't believe we've asked you to do this. So Coronography, I'm going to read the final third of that series. So the last four or five poems. And this tells the story of John Henry, the steel driving man, and his sometimes wife, Polly Ann, in whom I am queerly interested. John Henry crosses the threshold. Everyone up here called me crazy, but I couldn't do nothing but what seemed right. Crazy to fight? Maybe. Maybe crazy enough to win. Every day I crouch down into that bend, I know I might not creep out again. Tunnels eat men like penance, like payment for letting us through. I knew my life would be short, would be fast, but each shaft of light that snuck through the cracks I snapped and them walls kept me going and led me right back, swinging up this yap. And folks thought I was crazy trying to dream us up a future, even if I couldn't see it through all that dust, those sudden shouts and screams. Polly Ann tastes victory. Through all that dust, through sudden shouts and screams, the men slapped their backsides and busted their seams, jumping and hollering, yeah, yeah. Skirts ticked high, yeah, yeah. Next dip low, yeah, yeah. Steam shot straight to the sky. It knocked and it choked as that engine died down to a whimper, could barely be heard to the change that crowed and cursed, changing hands over wagers that pit a week's wages against whomever they thought could best this mountain. Only fools bet money on that man's machine, and I knew them fools needed to get on away from me. When everyone hollered quick and jumped back, when I watched him crack like steel bitten stone. John Henry gets his big break. When my last steel bit cracked stone, I watched her run through the crowd to come celebrate. I opened my mouth to say, I beat him. But I stopped when the look in our eyes fell back and all of it black. When I choked and spat, slumped across her lap and begged for water. And if I spoke, I said, baby, won. I said, these machines can't run us down and out from all we built, broke, and spiked day after night. Maybe we did it. I tried to cup her face in my hands, but the tunnel's maw gaped bright white and her eyes went slow. And if I spoke, I said, Polly, baby, are you here? And this pitch black mouth haunting Polly Ann. Baby, are you here in this pitch black mouth? Because I'm here swinging, just like I said I would be swinging. And I won't never leave. Shh. You heard? They said that howl belonged to some old wolf ghost dead about 10 years now. Won't never leave here swinging. I'll just wait and watch as you push through swinging. Maybe you can help me too. They say ain't no way out of here but through, so I'm just swinging. Got no time for no light me a candle kind of move when I gotta strike firebolt to this same slate swinging. earn us our food for tomorrow and tomorrow and shh. I could tell my future too. Want to hear it? Finally, Pollyanne haunts back. I can tell our futures too. Listen here. We weren't born to cry, I swear, but we'll still stand hungry, near dead, while the man says, lift and drop, lift and drop. And baby, if it feels like shaking and sounds like screams, it ain't. We'll steal away stone quick from the sticks to wherever it is we're meant for. We'll swing too low, bear too much, too long, let loose them germs blowing past like we ain't here. Living. Who we gonna be? We're gonna choke or bust you. Everyone will call us crazy, but we'll fly through all their dusty screams and we'll drill our last bits. They'll watch, but they still won't see. Not us, babe. Climbing this pitch. Black. Now.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about your choice of form and your choice of subject. Why John Henry and Pollyanne, and why a sonnet writ of play?
John Henry and Pollyanne, I mean, old John Henry is one of those songs you kind of grew up with. You know, spent a lot of time fighting tornadoes in Girl Scout camp as a little girl. And, you know, you sing a lot of songs by the fire. You know, it's one of those, you know, fables have always fascinated me, as has the blues. And, you know, John Henry definitely comes from a particular blues tradition, but it's also a really, it's one of the few kind of American fables that is unapologetically Black, and everybody, nobody kind of deal, has a, like, everybody is involved in this story. Like, everybody is about it. It's an American story. And it's Black. And Pollyanne is a sometime character in this story. In some versions, he's married. Some versions, she's blonde and blue-eyed and then a white lady, and that's an issue. Sometimes he has a girlfriend. He's not married at all. Sometimes he's just single or whatever. But this woman, Pollyanne, his wife, after he dies, picks up the hammer and swings it like a man. And I really kind of was very interested in exploring those versions and exploring who she is, this woman that, you know, I mean, just gonna say in the beginning, what is it, 20 pounds of firebolt. Those hammering out a mountain is a strong job. And who is this woman, you know? And why the sonnet? Because it's a song, because it's an argument, because it's this couldn't not be song. And hearing this tale, I mean, this is one of those things that had to happen. I didn't set out to write this, but once it decided it was getting written by me, then I had to make it work. And to, you know, I'm not a formalist necessarily, but I do believe in form, absolutely. And so to take this on, it was something that I needed to be really clear to the story, clear to my own queering of the story, clear to the song of it, but also clear to the blues of it, clear to the jazz of the whole collection. And so that's why you'll see this is, it runs through the choreography and the idea, the whole framing of choreography also weaves through the book. This is a book that's really kind of looking and seeing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully sometimes singing.
So, and besides a song, you know, you mentioned an argument, but it's also structured as a dialogue so that the alternate sonnets are in the voice of John Henry and Pollyanne, you know, speaking, responding to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, each is its own dramatic monologue, but I put them into a dramatic dialogue. I really wanted to hear both of their voices, and the form of the poem actually then gets to play into that. You know, in the beginning, the first poems, you know, their voices develop across the series. In the beginning, John Henry speaks in couplets and Pollyanne speaks in quatrains. Their sound, their diction, they're very individual. And as we move through this series, they kind of flip. And the way, the structure of the poems until in the end, you know, Pollyanne is in her own kind of broken couplets and, you know, has kind of taken on a different kind of embodiment of the strength that she's had from the beginning. And it's fun to, it's fun to play with and make, and it's really fun to see. I don't read that. Like I said, this has been, 2+ years since I've read that. And it was such an intense experience up there in Florence while all that was happening and while we're like digging into this corona of it all. And, you know, yeah, it's a kind of a special series.
Yeah, it's really startling actually to look at poems that we might have written in the before times that had the word corona in them. And you know, yeah, in the early stages, in like the summer of 2020, poet friends of mine and I would gather via Zoom or whatever, and we'd do critique groups and the things that poets do. Oh, nice. And any poem that had sort of death imagery in it, in our minds, we would try and make it be about COVID, even though it might have been written like 5-10 years before.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. That may be the oldest set of poems in the book. And they almost didn't make it in the book, which is so interesting, even though they have so much to do with the whole thing existing. But yeah, it's interesting, the idea of how our current kind of mass experience frames how we hear and hear so many other things, you know? And I think also how we're saying so many other things. You know, I think a poem that I'll read this evening, which is called How Not to Stay Unshot in the USA. You know, when I was in Rome, I had one rule, I have this gift. I'm not going back to the States. I can go anywhere else in the world and not stay. And people be like, why? And I'm like, because they be shooting. Like, period.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And so, okay, so I'll just read this. How not to stay unshot in the USA. Eat garlic. Go to elementary school. Attend a country music festival. See a pop star sing. Go to the movies. Teach creative writing. Play loud music on car speakers, but be Black. Attend middle school. Ask someone about the loud music coming from their car speakers, but be Black. Swim, but be Black. Lay about a swimming pool, not swimming, but being Black. Be Black. Shop. Be white. Hunt. Be not white. Ride your bike. Be at home. Be in high school. Be from the States. Be from anywhere else. Go to temple. Play outside. Play inside. Have a gun. Have Bible study. Don't have a gun. Join the army. Have a party. Be gay. Be straight. Go to work. Watch football. Have waffles where they have a house. Make social media. Basically, be anywhere near an airport. Visit the mall. Chill at the bar. Go to the beach. Play in the playground. Be pregnant and maybe want to not be pregnant. Go to sleep in your own damn bed. Stop for gas. Get groceries. Go to church. Be a veteran. Be a nurse. Be a college student. Take a spa day. Sightsee. Air travel. Serve in order of protection. Join the Navy. Play Santa. Synagogue. Stop to get a coffee. Be a journalist. Live on the streets. Call the police in an emergency. Work in civil service. Wait for a bus. Take the bus. Die, thus making someone sad. Be mad. Parent, be parented, be alone. have a family, watch TV with family, break up with someone, take an Uber, teach in any school, anywhere, answer your front door, knock on someone else's front door, be maybe just a little bit crazy, no harm. Be a Marine, make newspapers, be someone's girlfriend, help, go to grad school, dance at the club, go to the bank, write, read, but be outside, be taken hostage, which used to be kind of safe. Go to court, be someone's wife, deliver packages and or food, be a neighbor, roam your neighborhood, need your neighbor, attend a workplace training, Congress, have either walls or doors, be a sport, drive a car, eat pancakes while sitting in their very own international house, be a refugee, having escaped getting shot somewhere else, check out a library book, pause at a rest stop hoping to rest, national intelligence, be a doctor, go to a park, take a train, attend mosque, be a cop, please stop, immigrate, have or be an in-law, walk across campus, protest, sell cars, mic chill, share some froyo, speak whatever language you want to speak, walk down the street, any street, want some chicken, be a secretary, stay in a hotel, be a patient, live on the reservation, stay in a dormitory, handle your post office business, run for office, homecoming, be in a parking lot, fish in the river by the road, find yourself in desperate need of help, eat ice cream, live in an apartment, take the kids to a pizza shop run by a giant mouse, live off the reservation, seek custody of your children, go to law school, crave chow mein, trade stocks, say, ma'am, this is a Wendy's because you are indeed at a Wendy's, anchor television news, date like anyone, really, marry like anyone, really, run out of gas, have a child, be a child, live in a house, love a child.
You're listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. This is Wider Window Poetry. My guest this month is Samia Bashir, who just read her poem, How Not to Stay Unshot in the USA. And after the events of the last couple of weeks, this is particularly cogent, I think, pertinent. And the sad truth is it's always pertinent.
Yeah, it never remains, it never stops being that, which is horrible. And if it weren't so if it weren't so thorough, I would need to be adding to it all the time, but that's the damn, excuse me, problem is, it is thorough because it needs to be. And still someone's gonna find yet another random thing that you're just doing. I don't know if I have grocery shopping in there, you know.
I think you have shop. I'm not sure if you have specifically grocery shopping.
Right. And of course, I'm like, why must we think of that? Why? Anyway,
yeah. So going back to field theories, can you expand a little bit on kind of the overall theory of the book? And, you know, we talked about coronography and how that sequence fits into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the book is, it's interesting. I'm really curious about not just who we are, but how we are to and with each other and ourselves. You know, I use a particular kind of quantum physics as a lens, really an optical throughway, as my glasses to see, and as well as the laws of thermodynamics. That's what sections this book are, the four laws of thermodynamics. I include the third, the second, the first, but also the zeroth law, which I like to play with the thermodynamic zeroth law, but also Isaac Asimov's zeroth law of robotics, which, you know, means they can't kill us. They just that's the one thing you don't get to do, Mr. AI. You can't kill us. Things that one must remember to put in one's program. And so that's the thing, dude, like, how do we program not for ourselves? How do we treat each other? The black body theory is one that's really runs through here too. And black body theory, the black body curve, basically it's a black body. You can think of a black hole, something that is completely absorptive. It will suck it all in, all the height, light, heat, radiation you shoot at it, it can absorb it all while remaining at constant temperature. It stays always cool, right? Doesn't elevate. The opposite is the white body, which is like, you know, rubber glue, bounces off me, sticks to you kind of thing, right? Nothing. It's the Teflon, it's the Donald Trump, it might as well be, you know, that you can shoot somebody on and get a president. But, you know, that's how unfortunately easy it is to kind of map that onto our bodies. I mean, the idea that, you know, and as a black person, you know, in the world, in Portland, and you know, it's like the amount of heat and radiation and et cetera that one is expected to take without responding, without reacting, without getting hot and bothered, without forgetting to breathe. It's a bit too much, quite frankly. And so then what do we do? And how does that actually impact how we get to negotiate and nourish and treat ourselves and each other, et cetera?
So with that frame, maybe you could read a couple more poems from Field Theories, and then maybe we could go on to some newer work.
Sure, absolutely. I'm trying to think, I think I will read, I think I will read Synchronous Rotation because it's a full moon. And so, you know, the moon is interesting. We don't, you know, we talk about the dark side of the moon because it's the side that we never see. And the reason we never see it is because while the earth rotates, the moon also rotates, and they rotate at exactly the same rate as the moon revolves around us. So we're always looking at the exact same part of the moon. It's a synchronous rotation. After Dizzy rolled Bags Jackson and his vibes out of Detroit, Bags wrote his love songs in the minor keys, said the minor registers the heart, the magnet of us, iron filings thrown up the greedy gullet of space before one turn humbles another, slow as hours plucked through catgut blue. Please, the old song goes, send me someone to love. Me? Who am I kidding? Every day I meet some minor love or two. Hey, you. Let's toss our tarantellas across the tracks. Let's reveal one another bit by puckered bit. Let's emit this fit of heat before we burn. Or let's burn. I think I'll read Second Law, which is after the Second Law of Thermodynamics. The book begins with a poem that references Albert Murray as well. Albert Murray, who said the Second Law of Thermodynamics ain't nothing but the blues. Second Law. Who was warned about these things? The never hush, the maddening chafe sliding down a reddened bridge, print disappearing. Who was told how to brook it? That hound's tooth stench of olding, that time just runs itself out, that we Sisyphus ourselves to glasses, hobble wreckage down stair after bricky stair, that once we leave home, it's gas's oven, that once we walk the same slow steps as our hide and seek son, that once we face our anti-lovers, anti-gaze, bright, open, later, now, eyes smoldered, coats swept open to flash our own scarred bellies, our own hot hands, ablaze with spent matches, with burnt out love. Remember love? How it loosed its jaw to our kisses. How it unhinged us. How it tried us. Like so many keys, like so many rusted locks, how it missed its target despite its kicking. How maybe its force could kill us. Without it, what's left day after day to trundle our legs? What's left to push breath, ragged and torn from our lungs? Who was warned how these solar winds would leave us? Brown and bruised as apples, overripe host and blousy, see disappearing. Disappearing? Were you? Me too. I guess, interestingly enough, I was going to read the last poem in the book, A Small Matter of Engineering, but I think I'm going to, because KBU, read a poem called At Harlem Hospital, because I'm in Harlem, At Harlem Hospital, across the street from the Schomburg, the only thing to eat is a Big Mac. And this is after Portland poet Zachary Schomburg. Still, somehow we are carousel. We spin bodies to the wall and back. We are woman and man, we are surgeon and operation, we are everybody we love, we are inside them. We are inside and we are laughing, we are man and we will die too. We know that much. We are our own shadow. We are want of touch. We are woman and man, look, we are curvature. Look, we are train, we are star, we are big, tiny spiders. We are crawling, we are biting, we are hungry, we are a stopped carousel. We are bodies dropped to the floor, we are shaking, we are our own, still, somehow we are. Laughter. We are the doorway out. We are, again, the doorway in. And I would encourage everybody that there's a, I've made a remix video poem of that, which you can find on my YouTube or Vimeo pages, Vimeo Script Keeper, YouTube, Sunita Bashir, Assistive Fire. Yeah, it's the fourth video poem in the Field Theory series. And I love it, and it's featuring, it's the one that's featuring a whole cast of characters from Portland. So,
oh wow.
Yes.
This is Wider Window Poetry on KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. My guest this month is Samia Bashir. So tell us a little bit. Since you've lived in Portland, you traveled in Italy, you live in New York, what is the influence of different places like on your poetry?
Interesting question, because really there's almost what it is it's the influence of placelessness or of placefulness. You know, I've always been a bit of a nomad. You know, I've lived what feels like everywhere at this point. You know, I'm in New York. I lived in New York for 10 years, 15 years ago. To be back here is a trip. And so there's this, and because I've always traveled a lot for work, et cetera, you know, I used to kind of say I lived at 30,000 feet. When I lived in Austin, Texas, I just said I lived at the DFW airport. Because of that, there's a sense of motion that is undergirding everything, as and a sense of homelessness. I don't feel that I've had a home ever, actually, and I think that there's certainly a sense of searching for home that you can see through the work, certainly through one of the books I'm working on right now, And so there's a sense of grounding, needing grounding, searching for grounding, being grounded. You know, like that's this cycle that I think a lot of my work works itself through as well. And also because of the placefulness being all over the place, language is everywhere. It's the accent, you know, like I can go from like 5 different US accents alone in a week kind of thing. And I really pay attention. I love listening to the way people speak, the way people talk, the way people switch different words out, cadences. I live for proverbs and like figures of speech, especially regional figures of speech. You know, it's divine and delicious. And they make it their way into the work, certainly too. You know, I listen to so many different kinds of music and things that are kind of pretty unexpected make their way into the work because it all makes its way into my language. And the language is what makes the work.
Great. So let's hear some of your more recent work.
Excellent. Okay. So I think I'll read a piece called Here's the Thing. I've been doing a lot of work with composers over the last few years, working on libretti, working on choral pieces. I just got awarded a commission with the Opera Theater St. Louis to work on an opera piece there. And this piece, Here's the Thing, was made, I got this commission before I left for Rome, so this is 2019. And it arched that whole time period. I worked with a composer here in New York, and it was the first time we'd worked together, and it was a really powerful pairing. This is for the Washington chorus, the one in Washington, D.C. And it was supposed to debut fall 2020, but that didn't happen. And so there, you can find a short kind of excerpted piece that we did, a video kind of mix of it, but it will be coming out in 2023. So there's two things. There's Here's the Thing, which is the libretto for the choral piece, which is a whole other, it's a remix of this poem, which had to get written in order to get the choral piece written. And it's really interesting and exciting to me how there are two different things that are the same thing, but my God, they're very different. And not just because of this, the music and this, you know, the chorus of 100,000 voices that are singing it, but really the language is so different in the way it's built for song. So, but this is the poem, and it'll be coming, it's going to be published in Freeman's Journal, this, the Animals episode, as you'll see, this fall. So look out for that. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Things fall apart. I am sort of sleeping, then I am on fire. Undone. Burned. Stripped of skin, I feel so raw these days. Flattened. Full of doubt. Numb. Rats thrive in sewers, so maybe I'm thriving. It may seem simple enough, but my dreams don't say so. This I think I know. No one notices me. Lost, alone, blind as a sewer rat, 6 feet back, gelatinous, raw as a baby rat, shook, underdone, 2 full rat, still hungry, rich rat, swimming sewage, breadline rat, baker rat, transformed, stuck in a well, thriving. Burned into brick road, milepost, sign. Triumphant, I scream, but words burn like skyfire. Clammy, street rat, fell in a hole, stuck in a well. I rattle the cages of our children. Everywhere else is empty. I'm fluent in fire, fluent in indigo miseries. I am fluent in the absence of heat, a rat on the street, sudden and melt. I am fluent in how time presses a body. Here's the thing I'm not supposed to say. I saw others skulk the dark like me. Simple enough. I skulk away a little more each day. Maybe there's intelligent life, and I'm not it. How will we survive this? having a body, trying to be intelligent life, fireball struck and stuck. I study the crows who notice having a body to fly. Almost a dream, a sign you're not supposed to notice, a path